Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, as we come together, Lord, and your Spirit is with us, Lord. We come expecting. We come believing. We come here, Lord, to hear your word and to allow your word to work in our lives, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know that your word is not going to go to back to you void, but is going to accomplish that which you send it for. And so we just praise you and thank you today, Lord, expecting, Lord, to see your work taking place in our lives and in our church, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, today, last week we started dealing with one topic, which was about the kingdom of God. And we're going to start a new series today. And the series name is Manifesting the Kingdom of God. This is what Jesus came to do, to establish. You see, when he went around preaching, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, said, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Can you say the gospel of the kingdom?
The gospel of the kingdom.
You know, that's what makes the difference. Okay, realizing what the gospel of the kingdom is. And the gospel of the kingdom, he went around demonstrating the kingdom. And says the following, continuing in that verse, says, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You see, that is the manifestation of the kingdom. This is what God plans. That's what God wants to see and happening. And this is what Jesus' ministry was all about. He went around just doing that. And this is what he expected us to do. He expected us to continue his ministry. And by as we responding to what he sent. See, even at that time, you see, he wasn't enough to do it by himself. He in charge all the disciples that he had, first the 12 and then, you know, the 70 and so on, you know, to do that work. Now, Jesus has a changed ministry. You know, I mean, now there is another function that he has too, but His ministry is the same. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And those things are the works of the devil. And so we need to continue what he has been doing if we are his followers and his disciples. We need to continue his plan. And that's what is going to happen at the end more and more, because this is what's going to take place, that the church is going to become the church that he really wants to have, that he came to build. You see, Jesus did not came here on earth to create a new religion. See, man's tendency is to do that. Okay? But this is the objective, is to manifest the kingdom and to show the kingdom of God. And not it's a physical kingdom, you said, and the kingdom is within you. So this is really, we're going to see in detail what that involves and what we can expect ourselves. See, to be able to do what he wants us to do, we had to start seeing in the scripture what he told us to do and to accept that and to not look at our inabilities and our shortcomings. That's most of the history of the church has been doing, and instead to start looking at him and his abilities and the way he wants to implement it so that he is working rather than us. You see, we are not doing it in our own strength, in our own abilities, in our own efforts. He is doing it in us because he came in us to be dwelling in us and to manifest himself through us. Hallelujah. That's what he wants to do. That's what he wants to establish. You know, even today, there are many people in the, even in Bible-believing churches that find difficult to receive healing or to receive from God anything. That shouldn't be so. This is not God's plan. This is not God's will. So, you know, we want to establish or to make things the way he wants them. Okay. That's the way the early church grew. Wasn't because there was, a special, oratory or, organization. I mean, if there was something less organized, was the church at the beginning. But that is when it exploded and grew. It's not a question of man's organization and man's rules and ways. It's a question of the Spirit of God moving, and when the Spirit of God moves, things happen. You see, most of the revival that took place after that, in the recent time, they're not organized, generally are really messy. But they produce results. The unfortunate things that when they start in the spirit, then people try to continue in the flesh. And that kills everything that the Holy Spirit has been doing, and people go back into the way they were before. This is not the way God wants it. God wants his spirit to rule. He wants him to be, Jesus wants to be the head of the church, not the men's organizations. Some cults, they are very successful in recruiting people, but that doesn't bring life. That doesn't bring healing. Doesn't bring any of the things that Jesus came for. Doesn't bring people free from sin. So this is what we want to see, what Jesus did. He came to set the people free. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. So, one of the things that makes a difference is to create an atmosphere, a culture that is a kingdom culture in which people think in kingdom terms. Then people have kingdom values, that they operate according to kingdom principles, which is really, that means simply that the Holy Spirit is the one determining what's going on there. Praise the Lord. You know, my desire is to actually make that happen in the physical. See that taking place in a way that often has not seen. Now, you know, you can say, well, this is, you're really shooting too high. Well, you know, I remind you the story of when Moses, just came out of Egypt with Israel. And they got to the border of Canaan and sent 12 spies into Canaan to see what was going on. And they came back, and everybody said, oh, this is a land with milk and honey, but the people inside there are giants. You know, we can't do it. There is no way. Except for two people, Joshua and Caleb. They said, no, God wants us to do it, we can certainly do it. You know, they wanted to stone them. I hope you don't want to stone me. Because I say we can certainly do it. But I want you to say we can certainly do it. Let's say it together. We can certainly do it. You see, what kind of spirit do we have? Do we have the spirit of the 10 or the spirit of the 2? That, they were the only one that got inside the cannon afterwards. I mean, the other one, God was so mad with the other just because they said they couldn't do it that he wanted to kill them anymore, all of them. And the only reason why he didn't kill them is because Moses interceded for them. And so, you know, he convinced God to change his mind. I don't believe that. That's the way he said, but really, God is, that's the way that the Bible says, but is to communicate to them what he was trying to do. God doesn't change his mind. God is always the same. Amen. You know, but he wanted somebody to intercede for them so that he could have an excuse to just let them go. But nevertheless, he had to take some action. Because he's a just God and said, you know, they're not going to come into the land. They're going to die in the desert. And for 40 years, they went around without getting anywhere. Until all of them were gone. And then they went back. And Caleb and Joshua were the only one of that generation. They went in. They were 80 years old. And they were just as young as when they were 40 years before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, he renews our youth like the eagle. He gives us the strength that we can overcome the limitation of time because God is not limited by time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, beloved, you know, 3 John 2, something that we have to always keep in mind. God's will, God's desire. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Can you say in all things? All things. What does it mean, all things? All things. And be in health, even just as your soul prospers. See, our soul prospers. This is the areas in which we have to work on. She doesn't say that this is the result of what we do, but that our soul has to prosper to be able to receive that. It's a question of receiving what he wants to give us. And so we have to get to the place in which we actually can do the things he wants us to do and he's enabling us to do. Hallelujah. See, to walk in God's blessings is not that complicated. Even in the Old Testament, the people that did certain things were walking in God's blessings. For us, we should be even better. Because we are an advantage in many ways. We're going to see later. But really, you know, all it boils down to is what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Starting there, trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, that means that you have all your heart, not just, you cannot be just trusting in a bit and trusting him not. Because when you do that, you know, you are double-minded. And we're going to see that double-mindedness doesn't get anything. And lean not in your own understanding. The word understanding there is really, you can use it wisdom, your own knowledge. Sometimes we don't know everything and we cannot know everything because God, there's so much more to God than that. But when we trust in him, he's going to compensate for our lacks and our limitations. In all your way, you acknowledge him. You know, the acknowledging, the word there is yada in Hebrew, which actually means to know him or to know him experientially. So that we actually know him in an intimate way. So when we, you know, essentially what it means is the fact that when we know him that way, he is our partner. He is the one that is involved in all our activities. It's not just something that we remember on Sunday morning when we go to church. You know, every moment of the day, he is there with us, and so he is connected with us, and he made it possible for us to work that way in a much easier and better way than the Old Testament when these verses were written. You know, and he shall direct your path. See, when he's with you, he's going to guide you in the things you need to do. So be not wise in your own eyes, you know, really the own idea, this, you know, think the way you think, you know, you have to think the way he thinks. And so we have to get his thinking, and the way you get his thinking is through the word. Okay, he doesn't say everything. He says just what should happen. We are going to see all the things that are involved for that to take place. You know, what's in your own eyes? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. See, that means simply depart from evil. You just obey what he's saying. Obey his word. And it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So really that covers up all the physical aspect that Jesus came to do, to fix in people. Okay? But not only that, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruit of your increase, all your increase. So your barn will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, really, he's talking about abundance. See, we are not going to lack anything. The Lord is our shepherd, we shall not lack or want. So this is really the, you know, the secret. That's not a secret because it's been there written for so many years. We don't need the secret, which is junk. You know, we have the secret, which is known to everybody if they want to look for it. So, the point is, you know, to trust in the Lord. Some people trust everybody but the Lord. She doesn't say trust into man. I mean, you don't, can, you know, you are not called to trust man. You are called to trust God. See, God is somebody that is reliable and faithful and so you can trust. Everybody else is not the same way. You know, God is the only one that is trustworthy because he is not a man that he could lie. So the idea is that we need to look at him. See, what does it mean when you trust somebody? You know, that you know that you, when they say something, you can count on what they said. That you can believe what they said. Well, you know, God says lots of things, has given us a whole book of things to know. Are we believing them? Are we trying? You know, we say we believe in God, but we believe everything that he said. Well, sometimes we don't even know what he said because there are many things that we may not know and that are in the Bible. But even the one that we say, sometimes we really have a problem in believing them because if we would have really believed in them, there would be some manifestation in our lives that would be different from the manifestation that generally people have. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So believe in the Lord, trust in the Lord. You know, that's a decision we had to make. See, it's based, no, it's a decision that we made on solid ground. I mean, there is the whole Bible and the whole history of Christianity and all the manifestation of what Jesus did and us that to back up that decision. And so when we go and make that decision, yes, you know, our circumstances may be contradicting what the Word of God says. And that's the time when we had to make the decision. And we had to say, yes, I trust the Lord, even if my circumstances seem to contradict what he says. Because when we trust him, he's going to guide us to so that our circumstances are going to change and become what he said they should be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. So that's one of the things that we, you know, you know, it's not used to hear these things. You know, when we hear some things, one of the most important things to do, to remember, to have results, to have impact on the spiritual ground, on when we read the word, is when we read something, we don't wait to apply it to our lives. If you wait more than 72 hours, it's gone and it's finished. It is not going to happen anymore. You have to do it. The sooner you do it, the better it is. So when you say that I have to trust the Lord, that's the time to make that decision. Hello? Praise the Lord. Why don't we make that decision now? You know, but making a decision inside is different from making a decision outside, you know, expressing it. See, there is a component that we are going to see. There are spiritual laws in operation here. They have to do with us saying things. The same way as God said things. Because he made us in his image. And one of the things we had to learn, that what we say makes a difference. You know, we, because man lies, so we don't give too much weight to what is said. And especially if we lie ourselves. You know, if you keep your word before you say something, then you are careful what you say, and then you do what you say. But if what you say doesn't count, then you expect other people to be the same, including God. Hello? And that's not so, because he's not a man that he should lie. Number 23:19. So that's what it says, and that's what it is. So we can make a decision. Who wants to make a decision? Amen. So, you see, that's a part of a confession that we make. Okay. Lord, I'm going to trust you because you are trustworthy. You are faithful. And what you said is going to come to pass in my life because I believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See, what we are going to do, we are going to take different things that the Bible says that are the position that we should take in this different area and different principles on the, you know, spiritual principle that need to be applied to get the manifestation that God said we will get. Now, there is, you know, something seems simple. Like, you know, this the proverb that I just finished reading, you know, is completely true, but doesn't tell the whole story. There are many aspects that doesn't talk about it and assume that you are doing them. But you really cannot trust the Lord properly if you don't do certain other things that need to be done. And so we had to pull this out from the scriptures. See the things that we need to do so that we can implement in our life his principle, and we start to walk the way God said we had to walk, to be under his blessings, to see, to have the manifestation in our life that he has given us already. Because all the promises are already done, and so the only thing for us to do is to go and get them. But to go and get them, we have to get there. All right, so we want to see, we want to understand, we want to appreciate, we want to appropriate everything. And we want to manifest the kingdom of God now in earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that his prayer? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. So, when we trust somebody, generally, you know, that means we believe what he says. Okay? So if we, God says something, we believe what he's saying. We have to go to the word. You see, the way the enemy works is to get people that appears to be religious or they have an important position in religion and try to communicate stuff like the Bible is not reliable. Well, if you remove that, we have nothing to stand on. The thing is, we have something to stand on, because when you do what the Bible says, you get the results. Amen. And they don't. So who is right, God or them? So you see, there is evidence of the truth. God doesn't just say something and says, well, maybe, maybe not. You know, it's yes or no. The promises of God are yea and amen, not maybe or maybe, maybe, whatever. No, you know, the moment when you meet the condition, you get it. The very moment. God doesn't wait for you to do, you know, to for some unreasonable reason, you know, about manifesting what he promised he would do. It's not that he's, okay, well, you know, you're going to get it, but you have to wait some. But if you had to wait something, there is a reason why you had to get ready. You are not ready to receive it. It's not that you just wait because he decided that you had to wait in his knowledge and his, you know, decision. He doesn't need to make any decision. He doesn't need to do anything. The only people that need to do something, the only one is us. Hallelujah. See, when you start understanding that, and you want something badly, you start looking for it. You start looking for what you had to do. Instead of waiting on God to do something when he's waiting on you to move yourself, get up and do something according to his principles that he has given you already because they're right there in the Bible. See, but people get mad when they hear that. They got mad at Jesus all the time because they said, who you think you are? You are just a carpenter. And they got nothing. Praise the Lord. All right, so let me read from you, you know, a very important point that God makes. And this is in God wisdom and in God grace. He determined how we get the promises, how we get things. And it's given in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You know, everybody knows that verse, but they, you know, they limited that by itself when instead it's connected with all our ability to receive from God. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, pleasing him doesn't mean anything else but the ability that when he promised to give you, you can get. Because he established all the principles already. So you put yourself in the place where the blessing falls. It's for us to move from where we are, if you are in a place of getting nowhere, to a place in which the rain comes or the blessing of God, and we just benefit and we are blessed and we are in a position of favor. God wants to favor us. But we had to give him the opportunity to do that. And often it's our ignorance that keep us in a dry place. See, he wanted them to be moving in Canaan, which was a land of flowing with milk and honey. Okay? And they chose to stay in the desert because they chose to complain. We can't do it. The people inside there are too big. We are grasshopper compared to them. Well, we can never, you know, instead of really, when God said, go there and get it. I mean, he was upset with them because they were seeing miracles taking place over and over again. When we were in Egypt, there was, a cloud following them when the sun was up and, a pillar of fire at night. I mean, there was a continuous manifestation of the power and the glory of God with them, ministering to them. And they were complaining, said, why did you take out of Egypt? Because at least, now we're going to die in the desert. I mean, can you be more stupid than that when you have seen what happens? The only thing you have to do is look back and what happened before. Look around you and believe what happened. See, but people can see miracles and they just, big deal. Even today. Instead of rejoicing and say, okay, you know, he got it. I'm going to get it too. All right? Praise the Lord. So this is, without faith is impossible to be for he comes to God must believe that he is. Well, evidently, if you don't believe that he is, then there is nothing to go to. Okay? And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, that means, you know, that you, a rewarder of diligently seek him, that you believe that if you do something, he's going to, you know, seek him, go after him, go after the truth, he's going to reward you. So, you see, the implication there is an expectation to have a manifestation of what you are after because he is going to move in and do something about it because you are pleasing him, because you are believing. You see, you don't need to do anything but believe him. I mean, he doesn't ask you to resolve your problems. He gives you the promises. He's going to implement the promise. He's going to make the promises for you come to pass. The only thing you have to believe to do is believe that he promised and that he's going to be faithful. I mean, you see, that's grace. See, people think grace is something we don't deserve. Well, actually, it's true that you don't deserve, but grace is the fact that he wants to give you the things, but he cannot give you the things being fair if you are don't do a little bit of an effort about believing and not doubting. So he expects you not to doubt. We're going to talk about that because that is not necessarily an easy thing to do. We need to understand how we are going to overcome these hindrances, these blockages for us to believe. But the only thing that Jesus many times said, only believe. Even when the situation was impossible, and this is what happens, we're going to see quite in detail. Okay? So salvation, you know, comes by faith. But it's not just by faith. There are components there that, as you know, you had to operate as you believe. Okay. So, faith is the key for our salvation. Salvation is not just a question of accepting Jesus and so on. It's a question of manifesting the freedom that Jesus paid for. That's what salvation is in all the areas that he worked on. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, you, by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. Well, you know, the yourself part, there is the part of yourself is that you have to believe it. Okay? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you see, he can say, well, you know, I'm better than you or whatever. No, it's a question of meeting the condition. Now, you know, this is a difficult scripture to actually, you know, sometimes the Bible is written in a way that is not the way we think today. And today people think really we too much technology and TV, you know, and our brain shrink with respect to the way it was, you know, not only, you know, we not only die younger than the time of, you know, Abraham and so on. But also our brain is not as capable to get things from God the way they did it before. Because, you know, if you consider that Abraham did what he didn't have a Bible, he didn't have preachers, he didn't have anything. We're going to see about that. But yeah, they struggled just as much as people have struggled today. The thing is, he was by himself. And he made it. Hallelujah. So, you know, I like to paraphrase that verse differently to make it easier that anybody can understand it. The way I put it, salvation is a gift appropriated by faith. Okay? You can get it simpler than that. See, salvation, which is really, salvation is nothing else than receiving God's promises. Because that's, you know, what God wants to give you is freedom from all the bondages that came from the sin at the beginning. Okay? So salvation is the gift. Grace is nothing else. It means it's a gift. You know, charis means gift. So salvation is a gift appropriated by faith. That's much easier to understand than the verse I was reading you before. Because it's saying the same thing, only it's using different words the way we think now today in a most, you know, in a language that is simplified. Now, Abraham is our example. He's called the father of the, you know, the people with faith. And we are called the children of Abraham if we have faith. Okay, now, the way we receive promises is the way Abraham did. Exactly the same way. So we can learn from him how to receive promises. And we can go to see him and other things so that we are going to be facilitated in the thing. I mean, Eve made the road. We just had to go on that. Okay? So we had to try to do the things that enable us to follow his direction. Praise God. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can use the wheel that he prepared. Hallelujah. But even Abraham didn't get what he wanted right away. All right? He had to grow to get the things that God had promised him. And took him many years. Actually, it took 25 years to fulfill the promise of having a son for God, from him. So evidently, he had a 100 year old. He was 75 when he got the promise. He was already old to start with. Okay? But, you know, the things that he asked God to do was a big thing. I mean, he was old. His wife was old. They couldn't have children. And he was expecting God to make children. Hallelujah. So, but you can see, you know, that what he, the way he struggled in his life, he went through a lot of things that shows that actually, although he's called the father of faith, there were some things that demonstrated that he didn't have much faith anyway. I mean, he had doubts the way you have doubts on some things. I mean, when you see him, for example, that when he went to move in Canaan and went to, you know, the Philistine land, and he went and there was Abimelech there and he's, you know, and, you know, one of the costume of the time was that when somebody would pass through your land, you know, you could ask for one of the girls there to become a part of your harem. So, you know, and Sarah was beautiful. And he looked at her and so he said, well, I want her. Abraham to defend himself because he was afraid that if he knew it was his wife, Abimelech would kill him. Then he said, you know, well, she's my sister. All right. So, you know, and so, and she also said to Abimelech, he is my brother. In reality, you know, we weren't completely lying because there was a second generation that, you know, separated that, you know, was step camp, something like that. So they weren't completely lying, but at the same time weren't saying the truth. Why didn't they say the truth? Because he was afraid. Fear and faith don't go together. He was afraid, so that he didn't have much faith there. And he blew it there so that he gave him, you know, he took Sarah. Well, God was good enough because to compensate, you see, even sometime we overcome our limitations, you know, and he just gave a dream to Abimelech so that he said, you know, you are a dead man and all your people. I said, why? Because she's married. And so, you know, he got upset and said, oh, I'm not going to do anything against God. And so the bottom line is he gave her back. And he was restored. Was this the only time in which he blew it? Well, you know, after 15 years of waiting, they were both getting tired of this promise not coming to pass. You see, people get tired. They said, well, when is it going to happen? And so Sarah got the invention, you see, according to her own, you know, be not wise in your own eyes. She found a solution. You know, when they went to Egypt after they'd been there in the Philistines, you know, she got a servant, Hagar, that was Egyptian. She was younger. And evidently she could have children, so she said, well, you know, you go and with her and have a child with her. That wasn't God's plan, but he went along with it. And he had a child. That wasn't God's plan, and that produces problem, and he's still producing problem. Oh, yeah. Because it never pays off to do your own way. So he said, be not wise in your own eyes, but follow what the Lord says to do, because he's going to be a lot better. You don't have to fix things forever after that, because sometimes things are difficult to fix. Amen? So you can see, okay, that through the different experiences, his faith was tested. And so finally, when he was 100 years old, it was practically forget it, you know, Sarah was 90. There was no way, no way. And they had a child. It was God's child. And it wasn't even then he was tested later on. He said, you know, well, you had to give it to me again. You know, and he just believed God. You see, at that moment, his faith was strong enough to even be able to sacrifice his son, because God was going to be able to fix it. Okay? So this is the way it happens. Okay. He stuck with it. He just kept believing through 25 years. Now you don't need to wait 25 years to receive from God. Okay? I mean, we can get it right away if we are into that, into believing. And actually things move, you know, if things don't move fast, and that's what I want to really stress, because I'm finding out the evidence of this. If things don't move fast, there is a reason. And the reason is not that God doesn't want to give you, is that you have to do something. And if you had to do something, you had to do that thing, and you had to get it, and God wants to tell you. And if you're listening, you're going to tell you exactly what to do. And then as soon as you do that, you start seeing things may not be instantaneous, but you start seeing things changing rapidly. The thing often, we are so dense that we don't get, because we have some ideas, preconceived ideas, that stop us from being able to hearing what he's saying. We should be able to connect with the Spirit. You know, if we would really be open to hear from God, we should be walking like Jesus today. Amen. Okay? Even better, because he said that. So the idea is that we have some baggage blocking us from being able to hear properly. And we shouldn't fool ourselves and say, well, you know, I can do all things. Yes, you can do all things. Your potential doing all things is there. And we have to work toward that. And if it doesn't happen, it's because there is something we can do. As soon as we find out what the specific thing is that we can do, then things are going to start happening. God desires for us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So as soon as our soul is ready to receive, what's going to happen? There is no block. You see, God is not holding back anything. God is not there. God is generous in giving. Hallelujah. Can you say generous?
Generous.
Amen. Amen. See, so we have to diligently, like Abraham did, or seek him. That's what it says, you know, without faith, It's impossible to please him, but if you want to receive something, we have to seek, diligently seek him, and he's going to reward us. Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, what I want to stress here, Abraham did it and took him 25 years. We are in a much advantaged situation than Abraham was. Okay? Number one, we have a Bible. He didn't have a Bible. Okay? Number two, Jesus came and explained lots of things, you know, and he didn't have Jesus. Okay? Number three, we have the Holy Spirit. If you are spirit-filled, or even if you are born again, and he didn't have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Number four, there are millions of books and stuff, and sometimes they're more of a problem, but the Bible is available to us. You can buy for $10, you know. We have no excuse, okay, not to receive today. Yet the church has real problems in general about faith, about spiritual things, and about receiving from God. This must change. This is going to change in the last day because Jesus is going to come back and expect the church to operate the way he wants it to operate. So this is why this is happening. It's not because some people are getting smarter and they were smarter than the one before. Or they're more pious or religious. Possibly not, hopefully. But the idea is because the time are that the Holy Spirit is moving and is putting, revealing things to things that Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he's not going to meet with a church that is anemic and can't do anything. He's meeting with a church that can rule the world. Not the way politically, because it politically doesn't work, is by the word. Hallelujah. So are you ready for that? Are you wanting to commit to that? Because, you know, there is a diligence that is required to do that. You know, Jesus is coming back. Rapture is coming. I want to go. All right? But it's not that I want to go, you know, and I want to prepare myself. I want to see things happening before, because that's the only evidence that I'm going to go. If I don't get anything now, I cannot expect to go. All right. So we have to understand the laws of faith. How to get faith, how to make it grow, how to operate in faith, how to get results, not to be there waiting for 25 years. Because maybe there are not 25 years before Jesus comes. Looking at the world the way it is now, unless something changes. So the first things is the fact of receiving faith, faith coming. And everybody knows some scripture, but the point is, you know, that we had to make them real to us. Okay? So Romans 10:17 says very, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So really, you know, you had to, faith is believing what God says. How can you believe what God says if you haven't somewhere or another known what God said? So you have to, you know, it's not necessary that you need to hear somebody saying it. You can read it, it's the same thing. But you have to know the word to believe in it. Otherwise, there is no way that you can believe something that you don't know. This is why it's so important to be in the word day and night, because it's from there that we get everything that we get. And you know, sometimes you read it, and after you read it for 20 years, it suddenly opens up and says, oh, that's what it means. And you always thought it was something else. And well, that's what everybody else preaches, but that doesn't make any difference what they preach. What the important is what really God is saying. Amen? So that's what we had to get to. That's why we had to spend time in the Word, you know, praying, you know, reading it, studying it, you know, meditate on it, you know, and all of those things, not just one thing. Spend time in the Word, because as the Word is memorizing it, because as the Word is inside you, it works. And it allows the Holy Spirit to get to you and to reveal what He said in the first place. See, we need revelation. See, part of the breakthroughs, you know, when a miracle takes place, or a breakthrough takes place, because it's the same thing. It's always because there is interference with the Holy Spirit in your thinking, in your life, and it's a revelation that you got suddenly. Oh yes, I got it, and you get it, and instantaneously things are starting to happen. You want to get to that place. You want to get to a place in which you got that zap from God, and it's just the whole thing breaks up. Hallelujah. So faith is simply believing the Word of God and His promises. But it's easy to say and difficult to do, because as I said, there is always an unbelieving component in us. But you know, it's through faith that appropriates all the promises. It's faith that is working. It's faith that activates the Holy Spirit to produce and to do supernaturally power in operating inside us to make the changes at the whatever level is needed. Okay, it's not our trying to do things. I mean, we can try to do, you know, we can read the Word, we study and everything else. That's good. That's the background. But then when you are ready to do it, when you are ready to receive it, the Holy Spirit comes in and opens up the box of the power. Now, it's interesting to understand the other side of the story. Because if faith comes by hearing the Word of God, unbelief, how does unbelief come? Well, exactly the same way. You see, the more you hear other voices or other experiences contradicting the Word of God, the more you are going to believe them. So one of the things that you have to be careful is, you know, when you have to understand what produces unbelief in you. I mean, so maybe something very interesting intellectually. You know, I was reading some theological books. I have lots of theological books. I have too many to read at home. And I was reading it, and I said, I better stop here because they're killing my faith. Three volumes like that of theology kills your faith. I'd rather read the Bible. Amen. And that builds up my faith. Hello? You see, one is intellectual manipulation of things and ideas, when the other one is a spiritual event that takes place that opens up things in the invisible. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So you have to protect yourself. You see, as faith activates the Holy Spirit to manifest the promises, unbelief stops the Holy Spirit from manifesting the promises. See, that's what he say. You see, it produces fear in you. You know, fear is one of the major problems that we can have. You know, fear manifests. You see, fear is believing the opposite of the promises. Because the promises are all good. Fear is not believing the promises, and so put you in a position of not only not receiving them, but manifesting the opposite, which is worse than doubt, is worse than unbelief. You see, that's the final result of unbelief. So fear is the opposite of faith, because it works faith in the opposite, creates the things you fear. So it's the thing we had to fight. You know, fear, you know, there is false evidence appearing real. Okay? That's what fear is. It's false evidence, the enemy's lies that appears real. So we had to be careful. When those things start developing inside us, we had to take a position. And we had to protect our faith. Hallelujah. All right. So we are, you know, we are going to, in detail, look at all the different principles that are operating in the spirit world so that we can put ourselves in a position to have quick results. Establish a culture in the church of God's kingdom so that we expect things to happen all the time because our eyes have been opened. Because we can see God working and how He works. He understands the way God works. You know, in Psalm 103 says, you know, that He showed Moses His ways and showed the Israel His acts. You see, we need to see His ways. Because just seeing His acts didn't do much good for Israel to see God's acts when they were in the desert and when because you forget them. But when you know His way, you understand the way He's operating. So even if you don't see the results, you expect to see the results because you know what He's doing in the background. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is going to be a good series. I mean, we are going to be pushing the envelope, pushing the barrier farther, because we want to see this taking place. This is what God wants. This is God's will, don't you think? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Shall we make a confession? All right. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father. Thank you. For your word. I believe what you say. I believe the Bible is you speaking to me. I'm listening. I'm receiving your truth. And your truth sets me free, enables me to receive everything that you have prepared for me. And my life, I thank you for that. And I appreciate what Jesus did so that I can receive it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.